Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 80 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I am joined by an old friend, Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hello, it is great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Do you remember the exact episode number you were last on the show?
I do not remember the exact episode
number. Oh, Ben!
But I know it was the week Grand Tournament was announced, and we were so excited about Justicar.
Wow, actually, I didn't even remember that. Yeah. All right, I'll let it slide this time, Ben. I almost pulled the plug on you right now because you didn't do your research. But that's pretty good, pulling out the Justicar. So we thought Justicar was going to be amazing. Is that what you're saying?
I said she'd be in every Warrior deck and most Priest decks.
Well, you nailed that one, buddy. Yeah. So what's your prediction this time if you're going to go Nostradamus on us?
I'm thinking that in 1 year, Priest will be the new tier one deck. Everyone will be complaining about it, and I'll be so happy that it's finally good.
Okay. All right. October 20th, 2017. I want to hear from you.
Lock it in.
If that's the case. There you go. There you have it here. Priest, yeah. Your days are coming. Your days are coming. All right, so Ben, you were actually here on episode 53. This is episode 80, so that's 27 episodes ago.
Yeah.
And you brought on a Dragon Priest deck that we played. It was kind of the fast-paced Dragon Priest deck. It was fun.
It was. It was before Grand Tournament, so I didn't have any of the Corruptors or that, but it still worked pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, it worked really well. Of course, you were going up against the Warlock Demon Zoo deck.
Oh, yeah.
Because I looked up, so we have our Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame page now. I made it on the site that lists all the deck battles we've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Beastmaster Hunter versus this, blah, blah, blah versus this. And then just a wall of Demon Zoo deck defeats this. Demon Zoo deck defeats every deck that has ever been invented.
Yeah, like,
it's pretty crazy.
I borrowed that deck, and it got me the highest I've ever got on ladder. yeah, so I got to rank 4. Yeah, so
wow, nice.
Yeah.
Retroactively, congrats.
Thank you.
All right, cool. So can you remind people, if people weren't listening 27 episodes, or if they've forgotten in the 2 years or whatever it's been, what do you like about the game? What's your expertise?
I absolutely love playing ladder and constructed. I love building decks, making fun little ones. I like watching streamers taking their decks, shimmering it about, changing it about. And my expertise, I've been playing since week one that it came out. I wasn't in beta, and I played a lot of Magic beforehand, but was never very good.
All right, so Ben, you're in Australia, right?
Yeah, Australia.
Is there any difference, like, in the meta on the different servers? Because you're on, like, an Oceania server, I assume, or do you play on the NA or on the NA servers?
We have to play on the NA server right now.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, we can get, like, lag time and stuff, but it's pretty good most of the time.
Okay. Bummer, I was hoping to hear, like, if there's, like, a crazy different meta down there.
Oh, yeah, like the old Down Under secret.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, I haven't played on the Chinese servers, but people talk about how different decks are more popular on Chinese servers and how they have kind of a different meta at times. And I just love hearing about that because, in theory, we all have the same cards. We can all do the same things. But, I mean, just whatever card or whatever deck happens to get popular, decks that beat that deck get popular. And so it just kind of spirals in different directions.
Yeah, like all tech choices are so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about why we're happy, and then we'll jump into the news, because this is the 80th episode, and Blizzard wanted to make sure we had lots of news to talk about on this episode to celebrate 80 episodes. So I'll go first. I'm happy because I got to play soccer with my son this week.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, not really. Sorry, it is great. We didn't really play soccer because he's 2 years old, but my parents got him a soccer ball for my birthday. That's how birthdays work now when you get older. He got a birthday present. But he basically just throws it, and I pretend to kick it and miss and like kind of fall down, and he just thinks it's the funniest thing ever. So really, I'm just hurting myself for his amusement, and I get to call it playing soccer, but I'll take it.
That's adorable.
Thanks. So why are you happy, Ben?
I've got three things. Firstly...
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a little too much happiness.
It's sunny down in Australia. I'm very joyful.
All right. I'll let it slide. This is the different Australia meta you're talking about.
Oh,
way
yeah.
more happiness.
New tech.
All right. Okay. What you got?
So 2 months ago, I got engaged.
What? Congratulations. That's awesome.
You. Yeah. And so in January, getting married. Good fun.
Ah, nice. Dude, that's fast.
Yeah.
Are you guys so you must be kind of stressed out planning everything.
A little bit. We're both pretty chill, and she's pretty organized as well. And so she's got everything down. I just need to agree to everything and then disagree, but then come around later on.
There you go. You're just adding some tension, some dramatic reveal moments.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. The other thing is me and my friend Tom. He's a guy who helped with my deck last time. Moving out together for 4 months till January. And we just found a house yesterday, and we're off to sign tomorrow.
Very cool. That's awesome. Congratulations to you and Tom.
Thank you.
Good old Tom, deck builder Tom. Did he help you write the notes for this episode too?
Not so much, but we've been talking about this for years, just ideas. So he didn't help write it, but he's definitely another voice in there that you'll hear.
Can I still call him Ghostwriter Tom?
Yes, you can.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good old GRT.
Yeah.
Or wait, GWT. It's not Ghostwriter. It's Ghostwriter.
Yeah. And lastly, the Nintendo Switch was announced last night. And I'm so hyped for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So with Hearthstone-related news, I think... Blizzard was just memeing, but people have gotten really excited that the Hearthstone account tweeted out a picture of the innkeeper in, like, because you saw the Mario pose thing.
Yeah.
They tweeted out a picture of the innkeeper in that pose.
I know.
And I don't think it was meant to mean that Hearthstone's coming to Switch, but that's kind of what people are getting their hopes up about.
And the other thing was that Activision has been said as one of their third parties. And so a lot of people are talking about maybe Overwatch as well. And so,
I mean, how cool would that be?
That'd
be awesome.
So cool. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some other news that came up.
Let's do it.
Because Blizzard Hearthstone news is falling out like crazy. They must have something really big planned for BlizzCon if they weren't saving this stuff for BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So they announced Choose Your Champion. Did you see this today?
I did, yes.
Okay, so it's revolving around the big esports competitions for Hearthstone that's going to be at BlizzCon. We've talked about it on the show a bit. The tournaments have been going on and on. We just had, I think, the last one for NA, the Last Call tournament.
Yeah, Last Call was, I think, last week or a week before.
Awesome. So now all of the people participating have been chosen. And what you have to do for this Choose Your Champion, you go to the website. We'll have a link in our show notes on gamediplomat.com. As well, you go there and there's a list of all the people who are in the tournament. I think there's like 16 of them, and you pick who you think is going to win, and it's as simple as that. And you can do research if you want, or just pick blindly. You get a free card pack just for making a pick, even if nothing happens after that. But this is what's really cool: you get another pack for every best of seven series that player wins in the tournament.
That's so cool.
So, I mean. If you picked the actual winner, you're going to get a lot of free card backs.
Yeah, and it also really encourages people to watch the really high competition Hearthstone.
Yeah, And I'm excited too, because I just started watching kind of these tournaments that have been happening, like picking who's going to get in and who, all that sort of stuff. And there've been like some really cool personalities and just like the style of their decks that I have a few people I'm rooting for. Like BB Gun Gun won the last one, and he was just super chill. I liked his personality and he was on the list. So I just chose him because I liked him. Awesome. I didn't do much research.
Yeah,
he seems smart, and everyone said that he mentors a lot of the other players, so that's got to be worth something, right?
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
So who are you going to be picking? Do you know? Have you already decided?
I have. So I went through the list, and a few names jumped out at me. I really like Dr. Hippie, watching him, but I could not go past Tice. I think that's how you say the name.
Okay, yeah, it looks like this, but there's a J thrown in there.
Yeah, so I think it said Tice.
Okay.
I watched him in Seed Story Cup a few months ago, and him and Life Coach had the best Hearthstone I've ever seen. It's
really?
About 2 hours long. It's first of five or best of five, and wow. It's mind games. They're on the same team. They knew each other's decks inside and out, and it was so good. Could not look away, and so I'm really excited and hope he goes all the way.
Very cool. All right. So if you're listening to this, you have until October 25th, which is like 5 days after we're recording this. So not a lot of time to make your first pick. And you're going to be able to make a pick later as well. But there won't be as many games at that point. So you won't be able to win as many packs. So if you're listening, go to GameDiplomat.com. We'll have a link in the show notes up near the top to choose your champion. Because if nothing else, you get one free card pack just for picking. And you don't have to like link accounts or anything like that. You don't need to like link to Twitch or anything. Just make your pick and you're done. All right. This week they also announced Heroic Tavern Brawl. And I don't want to get into like the controversy of this too much. I just want to mention it so people know it's there if they missed it. So what it is it's basically like a constructed arena. So the arena format, you know, you play till you win 12 or you lose 3. But instead of building your own arena deck, you just play a constructed deck, which is decks that you've built on your own. But you got to pay 10 bucks or 1,000 gold to play. So it's a heavy upfront investment. And then the rewards are huge.
Yeah.
Like I think if you go 8 wins, you get your 1,000 gold back and you get a bunch of packs and a bunch of dust and a gold or whatever. And then it just gets balloons from there.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to win a lot of games if you're going to break even.
Yeah. Like, if you get 12 wins, it's 50 packs and 3 golden legendaries and a mammoth amount of golden dust.
That's just outrageous.
Yeah.
3 golden legendaries. So basically 3 of any legendary you want in the game, basically.
Yeah.
And 50 packs. You're going to get more legendaries out of those packs, too.
Yeah, definitely. Like, with those stats, pity timer definitely catch up.
Yeah. So I'm honestly, so I don't, like I said, I don't want to get super into it. I'm not going to play it. I am not good enough. This is a game mode, and they even said it in the announcement. They built this for the ultra competitive people, right? Because I like the way my brother described it to me when we were talking about it. He said there's going to be two people that play this game mode. The super competitive people that win, and then the naive people that go in thinking they can win, but can't. And I would definitely be that type of player. So I just know I'd lose. I know it'd kind of be a waste of my gold or money. So I'm just gonna hold off.
Yeah.
Are you gonna try it?
I probably won't. It looks a lot of fun, but I'm probably gonna watch just other streamers. Like I think Raynad's definitely gonna play. Trump will play, and probably Forsen maybe. And they're just so much fun. Good personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what I should do. I should watch other people play it. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Because then I can have kind of the same excitement of, ooh, there's a lot on the line, but not actually lose $10.
Yeah. So, but if you have the spare gold, if you have the spare money, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
There is something really exciting about playing when stakes are that high. It's the same reason why you put more money into your fantasy football league, or when you play kind of high stakes poker with your friends. Just makes it a little more exciting.
Adds a little edge. Yeah.
Yeah. So if that's your sort of thing, it's only, as far as I know, it's only in there as the Tavern Brawl this week. So you gotta play. Although
it's not,
I assume
it's next week, I think.
Oh, it's next week. Thank you. You're right. This week is the mutator dudes.
The Shifter Sheriffs.
Yeah. So it's going to be next week. Awesome. So you have all the time in the world. So it should start on, Tuesday the 25th, right?
It might be later. It could be or November Wednesday? 3rd, I think.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that late. That's like BlizzCon week.
Oh, it might be for BlizzCon then.
Oh, I could see that. All right, so let's talk about this for a second. Oh, never mind. We got to talk about this later. I forgot. We had a question come in about it. So let's not speculate. We'll save that for later.
Yeah.
There's a teaser for the future of the episode, which you'll hear in 5 minutes and don't care about teasers for. Real fast, let's take a note to talk about BlizzCon, since we kind of mentioned that. So it is happening in just a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It's November 4th and... Wait, yeah, 4th and 5th. We've mentioned on the show before, I'm going to be a part of the Con Before the Storm, which is a really cool player-run convention the day before on the 3rd. And I'm going to be on a panel with other Hearthstone podcasters, really awesome people on that panel. I'm really excited to be a part of it. And they're going to record the whole panel. What?
So who else is on the panel?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot. Let me pull it up.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Because I don't want to get it wrong, because I know the shows, but I can't remember which host from each of the shows. So let me just look it up so I don't make anyone sad. And you can look it up, conbeforethestorm.com. Here we go. All right, so the moderator is Garrett from The Angry Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And then me. And then Chris from Value Town, Espo from Legend of the Innkeeper, and Kevin from Well Met.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I listen to Well Met as well.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. And of course, they have panels for all the different games, as well as a general podcasting panel. So if you're excited about that, they're going to be live streaming it for free. They're also going to give me audio of the panel so I can put it on this stream. Or on this feed, the podcast feed. So what I'm going to do at BlizzCon, so I'm still trying to get a ticket. I couldn't get one from Blizzard.
Oh.
Last year I was able to get one as a happy Hearthstone and get some Hearthstone interviews. Doesn't look like that's going to happen this year, so I'm kind of bummed. But I'm still going to try and get a ticket to get in. But even if I can't, at the very least, I'm going to release the panel feed. So you'll have basically a full podcast that's going to be me with those people on it. And that'll be the next podcast that you get in this feed in 2 weeks. And then I'll do a special edition of the podcast. If I get on the show floor, I'll do it from the show floor like we normally do. If I can get an interview with the devs like we have in the past, I'll do that as well. Otherwise, I'll just do kind of a recap episode talking about the show and all the news and all that sort of stuff. And then I'll have a guest host, depending on whoever I get to team up with me, if I'm at the show or at home. So that's the plan. So we won't have a normal episode in 2 weeks. We're just going to have the panel episode and then a special episode for BlizzCon. And hopefully you guys are all paying attention to BlizzCon and getting all the news and getting those sweet, sweet card packs.
Yeah, cool. Sounds awesome. I'm looking forward
to it. All right. One last bit of news before we move on. It's not Hearthstone related, but it's happy Hearthstone related. So Scott Lance... sorry, I have to say this in front of you, Ben. Ben, just cover your ears. Cover your ears. Okay.
Yep.
Scott Lance, the best co-host this show has ever seen and has ever been on this show. He's been working on a game, right? He's a game dev. He's been working on Plants vs. Zombies Heroes. We talked about it when he was on the show last time.
Oh, yeah.
It's a card game on mobile. It finally came out 2 days ago, and it is incredible. I've been playing it on my phone nonstop. Sometimes at work, don't tell my coworkers. It's just really fun. So it's super funny. If you know Plants vs. Zombies, it has very kind of goofy art and it's humorous. Everything is funny. And so just brief rundown of the game. So it's like a card game where you build a deck and you draw cards, but you play cards on lanes. So the board is built in a way so there's like 5 lanes. And it's really cool because the lanes have different terrain. So one of the lanes will be water, and only aquatic minions can go there. And then other lanes will be on, like, raised terrain. And then certain cards have, like, things that if this lettuce catapult thing goes on high ground, it gets bonuses. And so there's just lots of cool ways to interact with the level. And there's just lots of really cool, clever cards, right? It's just like any other card game where there's, as soon as you start going, there's all these fun combos you can figure out. And it's pretty fast. I'm having fun. There's a nice campaign that I've been playing through. You can play as either the plants or the zombies, and they have different mechanics. So highly recommend this game. I've been playing it for, I've only played it for 2 days, but I probably put in, I don't know, probably like 5 hours, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. So Plants vs. Zombies Heroes, it's free. You can download it iOS or Android. If you like Scott at all, if you've appreciated any of the things he's done for this show, please check out the game and send him a nice message. I'll put a link to his Twitter on the show notes, but it's Slant76, S, and then his last name, 76. Just send him a nice, if you try the game, you like it, send him a nice message, because he's worked really hard on this and put a lot of hours into it. And I think it'd be really, really rewarding for him to hear from you guys and just let him know that you've tried out his game.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to playing more card games.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It's fun. It's been really nice. And especially, I like the campaign mode on the phone, because usually when I'm on my phone, it's usually I'm doing something else or I don't have a ton of time. And so a lot of times I don't want to commit to a Hearthstone game. Mm-hmm. Because usually when I play Hearthstone, it's PvP, and it's like, it's too much focus, don't want to commit to it. So this is just like, I leave it running on my phone, then whenever I have 10 seconds, I pop open, make a move, and then go on. And since it's the campaign, it's PvE, there's no timer or anything, which is nice.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, there you go. Let's jump into our episode. All right, so this week is another potluck episode. I think it's the third, maybe the fourth? I guess I should have counted before we did this. Do you know? Ben,
I don't,
somehow?
But potluck, you just rock up, got something good, everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's true. So this is the episode style where we do little bite-sized ideas. And so a lot of times we take questions or ideas from listeners that people send in, and we're always looking for more. So if you want something featured on the show, send it in. And then we just talk about little stuff and move on. But this one's kind of unique. So you put together a really awesome guide, Ben, about kind of just tips for playing the game in general for different parts, you know, which mode should you play, how to pick your deck type, how to pick cards to put in your deck based on what you want. You even did a full breakdown on like on each turn, what the big threats are in each meta or in the current meta.
Yeah.
So it's like turn 5, watch out for Brawl. You know, turn 3 and 4, you need to be careful if you're playing Druid, Innovate or Innervate is here, all that sort of stuff. So some of this, we're not going to go through all of it because this is an intense guide that could be like its own episode.
Yeah.
But we're going to string parts of these chunks throughout the whole episode, and then we'll have the whole thing on the website in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. Without further ado, let's jump in because we got a lot to talk about. Cool. So at the very beginning, you have in your back pocket, right? This is what you're calling your whole series?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the idea of... it's useful information to have just sitting in the back of your mind, just things to remember while you're playing the game.
Cool. So we're in general, it's going to proceed kind of from before you play the game to starting the game to all the way to the end of the game, what you do after a match. So this first one, it's nice and short. It's just how do you prepare before a game?
Yeah. Okay, so first and foremost, I think it's really important to remember personally and to remind that it's a game. If you're not having fun, maybe try a different deck, different class, maybe a different mode. And if you're still not having a good time, try a different game. Maybe go outside, ride a bike, do whatever you want. But it's also like important, if you're not having fun, maybe just play something else, or maybe you're taking it a bit too seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I found, you know, you mentioned kind of trying different decks. A lot of times if I'm not having fun, I'll just take one of my old, like, what, I don't know what you'd call it, like guilty pleasure decks.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, this priest deck has no chance of ever winning, but it basically just has every priest card I've ever loved in it.
Yeah.
And so I just play it, and it's fun to play. And it's nice because when you take a deck like that, at least for me, you go in with zero expectations. Because a lot of time you take a meta deck in, you're like, all right, I'm going to win. If I don't win, I've made mistakes.
Yeah.
But you go with that deck and you're like, I'm just going to try and not lose too quickly. Yeah. And it's just, it makes it a little more lighthearted.
Yeah, and when you win, it's glorious.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with your suggestion to play other games too. I'll do that too. Every now and then, my wife will take the kid for the day.
Yeah.
And I'll have like a day at home to play. Yeah. And I start playing Hearthstone, usually that's the first game, And sometimes I'll go on like a 6-game losing streak and be so stressed out and so angry that I'll just be like, I'm ruining my one day off. I just need to play something else. And I'll go play, you know, something else. Or like, usually I'll play a PvE game where like I can't lose, right? So I'll go play World of Warcraft and just level my character for a bit or something like that. And then I'll come back, you know, when I'm in a better state of mind. Sometimes it's best just to take a break.
Yeah. Personally, whenever I get in that problem, that rut, you feel like you're frustrated, just jump over, play Overwatch. It's really chill right now. Loving
it. Wait, how does Overwatch not just stress you out more?
I got a really good bunch of friends to play with.
Okay.
And we're all super chill about it. Like, we lose a lot, but we have a lot of fun.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So what else should you do before the match starts?
You should try and limit distractions. So I'm quite hypocritical in saying this because I'm a very distractible person. But you should probably turn off Netflix or YouTube while you're playing. I'm not saying that it will increase your win rate, but it will make you concentrate more and you'll realize when you're making mistakes and why you're making mistakes. And you won't get as frustrated when you just lose and you think, why didn't I see that flame strike coming? Stuff like that.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot because we're usually watching Netflix or something. And sometimes like I'll get so invested in the show, like I'll even miss the opponent's turn.
Yeah.
And I'll just come back and my entire board is empty. How did that happen?
Yeah, and especially with discover cards and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
If they burn cards, you don't see what happened because it's not in the history, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I find with music, that's usually pretty fine. It doesn't affect me. But maybe that's just because you're listening to it and you're not watching it and it doesn't have all your attention.
Yeah. Now, are you playing like super pump-up music? Like Queen, We Are the Champions to kind of get you excited?
Sometimes. It's a good one. I'm mostly doing like there's quite a few podcasts as well if scared but just a lot of chill music and stuff like A State of Trance is good. It's just like really long songs with no words, just instrumentals.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that sounds like good concentration music.
Yeah.
So one note for the guide, it's not really going to be a guide about how to ladder, right?
Not really.
It's just going to be about kind of a guide to get better at the game. So this isn't, because it's, like we said, this is a potluck episode. It's not a straight guide episode. But hopefully along the way, you'll kind of pick up some tips and some advice to kind of have a little more fun and get better in the game.
Yeah, that's the general plan to this whole thing.
Cool. So let's jump into our first non-guide part, the element of surprise. A topic sent in by Jaime, who's been on the show once or twice, I think. And actually who shared his 80 gold quest with me 2 days ago. So thank you, Jaime. That was awesome. I appreciate that.
Champion.
Yeah, good man. So I'm just going to read his note verbatim and then we'll talk about it. So here's what he wrote in with. He said, information warfare. Sun Tzu states that all war is based on deception. Control the battle by only playing cards as necessary, and you will maximize your card's potential. For example, it's generally a bad idea to play an Arcanite Reaper and then not attack with it in that turn. In theory, you're following the advice above about keeping weapons for killing minions. But if we know that it's coming, they're never going to play good minions onto the board for you to kill. Otherwise, or worse, they will destroy your weapon before you get any value from it. So he closes with, save your threats for the opportune time to strike to maximize effectiveness. What do you think? Do you agree?
I definitely do agree to a point.
Okay, so what is that point? What's the line?
The line. Trump is the mayor of Value Town, but he says frequently, value will not win you the game. You can make the best value turn every time and you will still lose. Just because certain cards can just deal more damage. You got to take that risk to, are you going to vomit all your cards onto the board and just go face turn 8 and 9?
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's good in general. If your choices are show my card or get the same effect and not show my card, essentially, then I totally agree. It's always better to not show it. But there's so many things where, like, if I'm playing Warrior, right, and I have a good 3-drop, a good 4-drop, a good 5-drop in hand. Like, I know what my game, what I want my game plan to be, but I have nothing on turn 2 except a fiery war axe, and there's nothing on the board. I'll probably just equip it and just sit on it. Like, I don't know. Would you do the same, or would you hold it in your hand?
I would do it the same, because you're not going to have a turn later on to play it. And if it does get swamp oozed, it means that your weapons later on aren't going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very true.
I am very much a believer in holding AoE for that one turn more.
Yeah.
So it might be a little less value to flame strike on turn 8 instead of 7. But if you can bluff not having it, a lot of people will just keep powering on the board.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. That's like, wow. I didn't even think about that side of the element of surprise when you're the reactor.
Yeah, the defendant.
Do you do like an... Oh, I'm trying to think, what emote could you do to even try and sucker them in more? Not really.
You mouse over cards, you wait a little bit, and then you make like an okay play.
Like, okay.
maybe an Azul Drake, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that means you can still drop it and ping.
Yeah, and it looks like you're fishing for something, too.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Oh, cool. So, I totally agree. There's some other things that I think this element of surprise applies to as well. So, like, playing a secret, I think, is a really good way not just to kind of keep them on their toes, but it's a really good way to disrupt their plans.
Yeah, definitely.
For example, like in your example, right, if you think your opponent's going to flame strike next turn, play a secret. Because suddenly they don't want to risk it being counterspell or something, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And if they only have 7 mana, they're going to have to not play flame strike that turn or take a super risky flame strike. So there it's interesting because it doesn't really matter what the secret is, but just throwing something out there that's like, hey, I have something here that you don't know about, but you need to figure out what it is, can change them to... or force them to change their whole game plan.
Yeah, like against hunters and mages, I will keep the coin usually to test for secrets.
Oh, yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So, here, how far are we going to go with this? Do you think it's useful to add unusual cards to your deck? Like, for example, like Snipe. I mean, Snipe kind of got a little more popular recently, but like Multishot, I guess, is maybe a better one. They're still good cards, right? Do you think there's value in adding them just for the element of surprise?
I really think there is. I think so many people can get so caught up in what the pros think are the best cards and what's the best, but people don't understand their competition decks. They're built to counter certain decks.
Yeah.
So, like, personally, I put Shadow Word Horror in one of my priest decks, and like, it's not a good card at all, but it stamps on shamans. Like, it will decimate a totem board, and they have no comeback from that. And so just like, it's a one of, and it's always fun just to play a bad card and do something really cool with it.
Yeah. All right. So one thing I like to do most of the time, I think when you're dealing with this kind of element of surprise and trying to figure out whether you should play something or not play something, I think a lot of it has to do with your opponent and kind of like you, like you're saying. So you use that Shadow Word Horror because there are a lot of shamans out there, Rex the Totem Shaman, which is really popular right now.
Yeah.
So I think when you have those cards in your hand and you're trying to decide, should I play Fiery War Axe? You have to think about the meta, your opponent's deck, what you know about it, or what you can assume about it. And think like, okay, what's the worst case scenario that's reasonable, right? Not some outlandish worst case scenario, but assuming they have standard cards, what's the worst case scenario if I play it, if I don't? What's the best case if I play, if I don't? And so I think that's kind of the best way to approach it. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's important to take into account, but then also do know that people top deck, random stuff does happen in this game. And it's important to just go with emotions, have fun, and just move with it like a tide.
Oh, that's very zen of you.
Yeah,
like a
boat.
You go with the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's jump into the next section. Thank you, Jaime, for sending that topic in. So this is the next in your back pocket section. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, all right? And we're gonna go quick through this one, because just talking about which mode to play.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned ladder's your big thing.
Yeah.
What do you need to be in a certain mindset or environment or situation when you're doing ladder? Or do you just do ladder all the time?
I do ladder almost all the time. I don't really need to get into a mindset, but I do need to remember that you can't just concede if you get a bad start. Like you can in casual sometimes. You're like, oh, I didn't draw my barns. I'm going to start again. But yeah, you do need to be ready to play, though, and to fight tooth and nail, even though you're only going to get one star per game.
Yeah. And that's okay. Hey, one star is better than no stars.
Exactly.
All right. So what about in Arena? What makes you want to play Arena when you do, or do you just not play Arena at all?
I used to not play Arena. I got burned a lot in GVG where we just kept getting the same packs and it was just so difficult. They actually came through with an Arena overhaul about a month ago where they took a lot of the really bad cards out and combo cards, and I've started playing again and it's a lot of fun. Yeah,
very cool. So when you load up the game, what makes you decide today's going to be Arena?
Until recently, when I do quests and golds and get gold, if I get 150 gold, I'll just buy an Arena and I'll just sit there, and then I'll fill it out maybe later in the day or a few days later.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, because like with my view of Arena, like if you have a lot of packs from the current set, each pack is worth about 40 dust. And so you're paying 100 gold for your pack and then 50 gold for about 40 dust if you go one win, three losses. And so you're kind of breaking even. And if you go more than that, you're gaining stuff.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, that's a better deal than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
I can get one win. Come on.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So what about, so when you're playing ladder, I assume you're playing standard, but are you? Are you playing wild?
I am playing a lot of standard right now. But every now and then, if I want to shake it up, feel something really different, just jump over the fence, go to wild, where Dr. Boom and Zoth run wild. Yeah, just all the belches. It's controlled central there. Just
the wonderful afterlife of Hearthstone.
Oh yeah. Like you'll fight a secret paladin into N'Zoth priest, into a C'Thun warrior, into a ramp druid that's running Yasharaj. It's so much fun, and it's just really cool to see so many decks. I do think further down the track it might get a little cluttered. As better and better cards get released, people are going to like craft the best deck possible and they'll share the lists around and then everyone will just be playing that. But I reckon we've got a few years till that happens.
Very cool. And all right, the ultimate question that everyone always asks, do you play more than one win in Tavern Brawl?
Oh, Tavern Brawl. I love Tavern Brawl.
Oh, cool.
I try to play at least more than one, just because it's Blizzard's way of showing us new stuff, and we need to support that. Otherwise, they'll maybe just think we don't like Tavern Brawl and just take it away.
well, wait, so you're playing Tavern Brawl out of fear? Is that what I'm hearing?
Partially.
Well, I don't think Blizzard has ever threatened to do that, though.
They haven't.
You're probably safe.
They haven't. But it's also a good testing arena. So for a lot of the Karazhan cards, they had Tavern Brawls previously that had similar interactions. And so it's showing us kind of a preemptive look at what's coming out soon. And plus it's really fun just to have new rules. Like this week's one's Shift to Xeris, and just to have a handful of cards that change every turn is just awesome.
It is super fun. All right, the next topic's tournaments. Matt Thomas writes in. I'll just read his note again. He says, what do you and insert guest host here? So that's you, Ben, buddy. You're insert guest host here. Way to go.
Oh, yeah.
He says, oh, what do we want to see from tournament functionality? And he talks about, I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is a long letter. So he has two ideas here. An in-game client instigated by Blizzard. These tournaments that are like official tournaments run by Blizzard, where they set the rules for entry, any cost required, they do the prizes, all that sort of stuff. So he suggests, you know, this would function similar to Arena. Which is funny because that's really what the Heroic Tavern Brawl is. Yeah. Obviously, he sent this in before Heroic Tavern Brawl was announced. But he mentions that as one of the options. And then he says another one is a tournament organizing tool, which lets people, just other random people in the game, organize their own tournaments, set their own rules, handle their own prizes. And he says he compares this to creating custom games in Halo. He says you could create all different sets of parameters, right? You can do this in any Valve game as well. So I don't know. What do you think? Would you want both? Do you see one as being more important than the other?
I would absolutely love both. I do think if one's more important than the other, I think that the community making tournaments is very important.
Why is that?
It adds another level to friends, and it increases the chance of people like adding people and like, hey, I'm thinking of running a tournament. It's going to have some pretty wacky rules, like having Tavern Brawl like options in it as well.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, and just to have your own rule set, like only allow one copy of each card, stuff like that, would really shake up the whole game as a whole. Yeah.
So if they do something like that, do there need to be rewards for those for winning a tournament, or can tournaments just be for fun?
I think tournaments can just be for fun. You couldn't have the community tournaments getting prizes because it would be open to so much abuse.
Yeah.
But with Blizzard tournaments, I think they could easily put prizes through. And there's also Fireside Gatherings that are officiated by Blizzard. I think they could run tournaments and get official prizes and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. So this is something that's kind of come up a lot, especially with Heroic Tavern Brawl announced. What do you think the chances are that we're getting a tournament mode announced at BlizzCon this year?
I'm putting it at a very apprehensive middle to high.
Okay.
I really, really want it. And I think this might be them testing the water to see how the people like it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But if they're testing the waters now, it means they probably wouldn't announce it at BlizzCon.
True.
So what do you think about maybe... So I was trying to think about what else you'd want in place to support tournament modes. And they've mentioned guilds a few times.
That would be awesome.
And I could see guilds being announced at BlizzCon as hey, start building your communities so you have these larger networks of friends. And then when tournament mode comes out, you already have groups and communities set up to do it.
So, I used to play a lot of League of Legends, and they have stuff like that, where it's, all inbuilt. And also another thing would be cool to have replays and save that all, but I guess that's another story.
Yeah, that's true. I would not be surprised if that was announced, because they've been talking about replays for a while.
Yes.
And that'd be a really cool announcement at BlizzCon.
Oh, and the other thing would be to have a way to collect all your data. So, Overwatch has a website where you can just type your name in and it has your stats for everything, how many bullets you've fired. I wish on Hearthstone had that. How many times have you rolled face with Knife Juggler, or how many times have you unleashed the hounds?
Yeah.
Things like that would be so cool. I just love stats like that.
That would be super fun. So, actually, on my birthday, so I've been making up these cards, right?
Yeah.
On my birthday, I made a card. Tongue in cheek, I was kind of disappointed that I was still losing Hearthstone on my birthday. I felt like I should just get free wins. So I came up with an idea about putting a card in your deck if it's your birthday. And it's called Surprise Party. And it's zero cost. Blatantly OP, right? But it's your birthday, right? So it's Surprise Party, and it played your three most played minions all time. And so me and my friend started talking about what do you think our top three would be? And it's got to be Northshire Cleric. It's got to be one for me, because I just play a ton of priests, and that's in every priest deck. Probably a demon from the Warlock Demon Zoo deck, because I played that a bunch. I don't know. What do you think your top three would be?
I think North Shire would definitely be in it. Probably Voidwalker.
Yeah.
The 1-3 taunt. And maybe Argent Squire or Lepinome. I'm one of those terrible people who play Face Hunter when they're bored.
You're a bad man, Ben.
I know,
bad
I'm sorry.
Man. But on your birthday, they'll still show up and let you know.
Yeah.
So I would love to see stats like that too, because I would love to see, like, hey, what are my top 10 most played minions all time? What are my top 10 spells played all time?
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
All right. So let's jump into the next topic. We're getting back into your in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And this is picking your deck type.
Yeah.
All right, lead us through it.
Sweet. So there's lots of different deck types, but there's four main ones. So when you're going to play, there's no shame jumping online and get on YouTube or Twitch, watch a streamer play, get on Hearthhead, Tempo Storm, or even Reddit, and just see what everyone else is playing. You just go through, there's deck lists everywhere, and it's really cool to check out what the counters are, what people's tech choices are. And if you grab one of those decks, you don't have to copy it card for card. You can swap out ones you don't like or ones you don't have. And so you just pick a class that you know or you want to know better, and you just decide what type of deck you want to make. So I said earlier there's four types. So there's face or aggro, there's mid-range, there's control, and there's combo. So face or aggro relies a lot on cheap but effective minions with high synergy. So you're thinking a lot of beasts in Hunter, a lot of totems.
Are some good examples of decks like that? Like what's the top ones right now? Let's do that. Let's give people, like, if someone's like, yeah, aggro, you know, I've never really tried it, or I really feel aggro right now, what deck should they play?
So right now, really good ones are Face Hunter. It's kind of had a little bit of, it's not as good as it was, still really good though. Face Shaman is crazy good, still even after all the nerfs. And Warlock Zoo has been good for years and is a lot of fun to play and takes a surprising amount of skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what about mid-range decks?
So mid-range decks, they are about controlling the board early game, but dealing a lot of damage while playing on curve, optimizing your mana turn by turn. So you have your mid-range Shaman or Totem Shaman. Some Dragon Warriors are pretty mid-rangey, and a lot of Paladin decks are mid-rangey, and their curve kind of tops out with Tyrion, which is 8 mana.
Oh, good old Tyrion.
Yeah.
That's the guy I got in whatever that was, the Welcome Back pack.
Yeah.
I got Tyrion. I was so happy.
That's awesome. I crafted him a few months ago, finally.
It's so worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking before the show about Entomb going away at the end of this year, or whenever the next thing comes out. Yeah. And do Tyrion, once Entomb is gone, and now that Silence is basically essentially gone, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, Paladin's going to shoot back up to the top.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about control decks, because these are my favorites. It's like mid-range, but slower, and you just want to put all the coolest, highest-end cards in the deck and play for 100 turns.
Yeah, yeah. This is my favorite as well.
What are the best options right now if you want to play control?
So if you want to play control, there's Control Warrior, tried and true. It's an amazing deck. It takes a lot of skill, but it's a lot of fun to learn.
Yeah. So is Control Warrior... So I've heard... On the show, we've had guests in the past talk about Attrition Warrior, which isn't like... Is that the same?
It's very similar.
Okay, because Attrition is more about... You aren't even trying to kill them. You're just trying to stay alive with more health so that fatigue will kill them, right?
Yes, definitely. So Warrior just sits there and it has all the answers in hand. And they don't care what you play. They're going to slam execute. They're going to whirlwind execute. They're going to brawl. They're going to Blood to Ica execute. They're going to Gore Howl and then just kill whatever your legendary is.
But not Tyrion Forgering. He's
not
safe.
Tyrion. Yep.
All right. So you got Attrition Warrior, Control Warrior. What other? You got to say Dragon Priest, right? That's my favorite deck right now.
I love Dragon Priest and also N'Zoth Priest. Both are very good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're crazy good in Wild right now. But they're also pretty good in Standard. And also C'Thun Priest to an extent. But C'Thun Warrior is better right now.
Very cool.
And also, in Zoth Paladin, it is so much fun. Drop in Zoth, get Tyrion, get Sylvanas, get back the one that drops the ooze that isn't Sludge Belcher, and you just fill your board again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much fun. And any Finn Paladin as well, where you just 10 mana hit, resummon all your Murlocs, go face and win.
Yeah, man, that is brutal, especially the second any Finn when it gets played, so it doubles all the Murlocs that it summoned the first time. Oh, my word.
I started playing Corrupted Seer, which is a 6-mana 2/4, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Just to counter any Finn, because even if it dies on your side, it counts as a Murloc to be summoned.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so we got one more deck type on this list, which is not a deck type that people normally think of when they list, you know, the big three.
Yeah, so it's combo. I really rate it. I think it's a lot of fun. Drew talked a lot about it last episode, and it revolves around, like, biding your time, sitting still, and then dealing ridiculous amounts of damage over one or two turns. Most of them will have the Emperor Thurizen, who will pop out and then lower the cost of all the important cards. And then you either need to do something right now or that deck's going to kill you.
Yep.
So yeah, the most famous I'll quickly go into is Miracle Rogue. Almost 2 years ago, it was the best deck like ever. Everyone played it. And it stalled till turn 5 or 6, and then it dropped Gadgets and Auctioneer. You drew your deck, and then you won. You just Leroy, Shadow Step, Leroy, just for obscene amounts of damage.
Yeah.
So it's it caused Gadgetson and Leroy both to be nerfed, but it's still playable, and it's a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, there's a fun variant that just throws in a C'Thun and the Blade of C'Thun as well, which I think is just a really fun addition.
Yeah, I'd need to try that, actually. That sounds so much fun. The last Legendary I crafted was Van Cleef.
And Van Cleef, he's still surprisingly good. Yeah. I mean, because if you get one proc, he's already a 4/4 for 3.
Yeah,
like,
well,
and it just goes up from there.
If you're playing against Priest, turn 2, you coin Van Cleef, and he's a 4/4. And they can't deal with it. They can't shadow it. Pain or death.
That's mean.
I love prep, eviscerate, coin, Van Cleef, turn 2, and you have an 8/8, and you're just like, what am I going to do?
Oh my gosh, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
All right, so what are some other... Because I know some people are going to have PTSD when you mention Miracle Rogue, because I remember losing to Miracle Rogue, because it's just one of those things where you think you're winning the whole time until you lose.
Yeah, definitely. So
what are some other options for combo decks?
A few other combo decks. OTK Warrior. It was till a few weeks ago where Charge was nerfed. But OTK Priest, they drop Velen, double Mind Blast for 20 damage. That's good fun. Some people put Freeze Mage in combo list as well. I think it is more of a combination of control, maybe mid-range, depending on your flavor, but it does like drop Thurizen, and then it will double Frostbolt Phase, double Ice Lance, and then
Yeah, man. I've gotten killed. I had like 20-plus damage in one turn many times from Freeze
Mage. Especially Roaring Torch right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Or it's, you know, 3 fireballs and a Roaring Torch right at your face.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just the basic summary of the deck types.
Cool. So those are the deck types. Hopefully, if you just... I'd recommend just play one... Pick one for fun. Pick whichever one of those you normally don't play. Like, I don't play much face or aggro. I really lean towards the slower, controlly decks. I'm going to pick an aggro deck and just build it and play it and just have fun. And so, like we kind of mentioned at the top of the show, it's really nice when you just need a break to try a deck that you're not used to. So pick one of these deck types you're not used to. Maybe especially like if you're looking for a challenge, grab one of these combo decks, because you have to be really smart about how you use each of the cards in these decks and not using the key pieces until the right moments. So grab a deck that you haven't tried before and just try it out.
Yeah, sweet.
But there is one deck type you didn't mention here, buddy.
I did. Forget it.
The casino deck. What? So yeah. This note is from my brother. He actually sent this note in a while ago, but we haven't done a potluck in a while. So my brother wanted us to talk about casino decks. He says, I've seen a few of these casino-style decks lately, and he said to me we should build some and have some fun, and we never did, so now I feel guilty and bad that we never did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe but it's still time. We should play
some casino. What is a casino deck?
A casino deck, you play with as many like random cards as possible. So you've got Confessor Paltrus, summon a random legendary. You've got shifting the zero mana priest spell, summon a random minion, like all that. And then it's also really fun just to have no idea what's going on, because it means your enemy can't mind games you, because you don't know what you're going to do.
But you're going to mind games them, because that's a random card that is pretty bad, but gets played in this deck too.
Yeah. So, just mind games, summoning a Ragnaros is so much fun.
I mean, and it's fun because people started really playing this before the last adventure came out, or maybe before the last expansion. I forget when it was, but it's when people were really bored kind of with the game.
Yeah, it was. Firebat, a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago now, he, over a week, made a casino deck for every class. And his casino priest and his casino druid are some of the most fun decks I've played in a long time.
And yeah, it's super fun. And like we kind of mentioned earlier, you go in with zero expectations. You just take this totally random deck and have fun playing. And usually your opponent will catch on kind of halfway through and start emoting with you, like, because they're having fun seeing what you're doing.
Yeah. So last episode's one was very similar, like the Pickpocket Rogue.
Oh, yeah.
That's very much a casino-y deck. It's just good fun to play.
Yeah, very fun. All right, so I think this is kind of the last big tip section, or we got two more tips section from you on this one.
Yeah.
Picking the cards for your deck.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's assume the person has picked the deck type. All right, like, let's take me. I want to do an aggro deck.
Okay.
All right, I'm sitting there. I'm trying to build my aggro deck. I'm probably going to do Hunter, I guess, because that's what everyone does. And I don't really want to do Shaman. That's too OP. All right, so what do I do?
Okay, so you've got your deck, and you think, so you have an idea, see what would be fun, you check what cards you have in your deck, like basic-wise. Are you going to put beasts in it? Are you going to put secrets in it? So are you going to go face? How many Wolf Riders do you want?
All of them.
All of them.
That's all the Wolf Riders.
That's the right answer. Anthony Roy.
So you mentioned kind of the core deck. Is that like looking at him being like, okay, every Hunter deck needs X. Hunter deck needs the Animal Companion, right? So you just immediately toss that in and see kind of what space you have left?
Yeah. So most core decks will have 10 to 12 cards that you have to have in them. But there's also a lot of room for changing other cards if you want.
So when you say, you know, these decks have 10 to core cards, how do you find out what those 10 core cards are? Like, if I had no idea what Hunter played ever, should I just, like, go to Hearthpwn and look up, you know, what Hunter decks have in them?
Yeah, Hearthpwn's good. Hearthhead's very good as well. I use Tempo Storm a lot, but that's more for competitive decks. But it gets you a good idea. And also just playing personally. Like, you just throw in a lot of cards, work out what works, what doesn't work. Jump in on casual, lose a lot of games, and learn from a lot of games.
Yeah, and actually, so I'm going to pull something from later in the show notes.
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned this Thailand Hearthstone site.
Yes. I'm just going to scroll down and find it. Here it is. A guy named Tarillaz, guy or girl, I'm not sure. They're a mod on the Hearthstone Totem Thailand Facebook group. I don't speak a word of Thai, but this person, they make the best deck visual summaries I've ever seen. They all have English subtitles. And so it shows a picture of like the hero, what cards they have, what tech choices they have, what other cards you can swap out for them. Oh, it looks incredible.
Yeah, and it made me think of this too, because some of these, what they show, like, For example, he or she analyzed the decks that were in one of the pro tournaments.
Yeah.
And it takes like Shaman, for example. And then it has a section where it says, hey, here are the 12 cards that were in every Shaman deck. And then here's the extra tech cards that were put in this one. Here's the extra tech cards put in this one. But I think this is a great place to start if you're looking for like, hey, what's the core cards everybody's putting in Hunter deck? These guys build the infographics. You could just look at it and be like, oh, okay, here are the 14 Shaman cards in everyone's deck.
Yeah, it's so useful. He did a mage one as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, I love that you found this because I had never heard of this before. How did you even find this?
Someone linked it in the Australian Hearthstone Facebook page and they're like, check this out. And so I found the guy who wrote it. And so I went to Google Translate and I wrote, this is amazing. And I sent it back to him in like broken Thai. And he replied back, oh, thanks for showing. And so, yeah, I just want other people to see it. It's so cool.
Yeah, this is awesome. I'm going to put one of the images in the show notes so you can see the kind of the guide we're talking about. And then we'll put a link to it as well. So yeah. I think if you're not sure how to build, and this is not necessarily like, I want to build Secret Hunter, right? This is just, I want to know what Hunter cards are considered auto-include.
Yeah.
This sort of stuff. It's really cool. So definitely start here when you start building your deck. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, I derailed you. All right, so after that, you're going to start putting in tech cards.
Yeah.
And tech cards are usually, those are like cards that are built to counter specific things, right?
Yeah, there are. So when you build a deck, you'll usually have 27, 28 cards and maybe two or three cards, wiggle room to put in tech cards. So if you find you're playing against a lot of warriors, a lot of rogue, throw in Acidic Swamp Ooze or Harrison Jones. Playing a lot of druids, a lot of taunts, throw in the Black Knight if you have him. If not, maybe a few damaging spells. A lot of Secret Hunters, Freeze Mage, put in Secret Eater or Kezan Mystic if you're in Wild. If you're getting run down too quickly, too much face, put in a Sunwalker or a Shieldmaster. Maybe put another AoE in if you're feeling the meta's slow. And you could risk putting some more heavy cards in. Put in Ragnaros, put in Cenarius, stuff like that.
So you mentioned here like how it's feeling today and how it's going right now. Is this really like when you're playing, do you get a sense like how soon are you starting to swap these out after one game? Or is it like after 10 games in an afternoon? Or is it just a more general, this is how I feel about the meta?
It is a lot by feel. I usually do it after maybe 3 or 4 games.
Okay.
So you can usually get the feel. Recently, there's been like a lot of aggro decks. And so you just pop in a Sunwalker. You don't have to put two in. And every now and then, you'll just draw it at the right time. And it'll just be nice just to throw it down. You're like, ha, I put this in to stop you.
that does have to feel good, right? If you're like, oh man, there's so many warriors right now, I'm gonna throw an Acidic Swamp Ooze, and next game you get to play it, like that has to feel great, right? Like it feels like you totally outsmarted them.
Oh yeah, like they'll coin War Axe and then you just throw it down turn two and you're like, you didn't do anything last turn.
Oh no, are you arguing the secret thing that we were arguing earlier still?
Yeah,
take that, Jaime. Countered.
Yeah.
All right.
So a lot of it's to your own discretion how you feel. And the meta changes massively between like rank 20 and legend. And it will change as you go up or down the ladder. Sometimes you'll just need to change cards. Sometimes you may even need to just change deck. Some days you just can't play like priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know how that goes. So you have some stuff here in the show notes. We're not going to go over it on the show because it's really long, but it's going to go in the show notes for people to read. So you talk about kind of some hints for when you see certain cards, what that probably means you're playing against. And then also on each turn, what kind of the big threats are, for example. And then some tongue-in-cheek here, I think, too. On turn two, you warn that priests will heal themselves and taunt you.
Yeah.
But there's other stuff in here, too. Yeah, so a lot of stuff like, And experienced players may know some of this, like turn 5, watch out for Brawl, Holy Nova, Excavated Evil, turn 6, Blizzard, Auctioneers, Flame Strikes with Coin, Sylvanas, that sort of stuff. And so it's a really good kind of checklist just to keep in mind. And even though you don't have to like look at it while you're playing, for me, it was a nice refresher to read through and be like, oh yeah, that's right. Because like Blizzard, I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
But it's still good. I mean, even though you know it's not a very common card, if you can play around it without hurting yourself, you might as well.
Yeah. And it's also about board placement if you play, particularly in wild shredders and stuff. So if you have a wolf pop out of the shredder, it powers the two people next to it. So you never put a shredder on the end of a line. Put it in the middle.
Ah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Cool. So that's going to be in the show notes if you want to check it out. Mm-hmm. And one thing I thought that you mentioned in here that I thought was really cool was kind of the notepad. Do you want to kind of talk through that real fast?
Yeah. So try and just keep a notepad handy. Pen and paper, I prefer. You can use your phone. And so just keep track of the decks you play and any changes that you want to make in your own deck. Pop down who started with the coin, who won, and any strange cards that they've played. And, like, if you're really surprised by something. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really cool to do. My brother does it in a spreadsheet, which is a nice way. And I know Scott Lance does this as well, because he was able to tell us when he was on the show, like, oh, yeah, my best class is Rogue. I win 67% of the time, or whatever it was. Where it's like, it's cool to be able to look up those stats and just know, like, okay, when I start with the coin, I win way more when I don't. What can I change about how I play or how my deck works to, you know, make sure that I can win without the coin and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Very cool. All right, so we got another topic here from Jellybone, which is a wonderful name for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Jellybone asks, what our best and worst animations are, let me just read it rather than trying to make it up because I'm getting this wrong. Jellybone says, your best and worst animation reminded me of a topic. We talked about best and worst animations, or our favorite and least favorite animations on cards a long time ago on the show, that they've been meaning to suggest. The Aesthetics of Hearthstone episode. Jellybone wants to know, like, which class has the best or worst art, which character art versus spell art, best card voice, all this sort of stuff. So I don't want to do a full episode on just the aesthetics of Hearthstone, because I don't know. I feel like a full episode of just us sharing our opinions of things we like. I don't know if people would like that, but it's perfect for a potluck.
Yeah, just pop it in.
Yeah. So what's your favorite character art, buddy?
My favorite character art, it was for a long time. Garrosh, he looks amazing. Yeah. And if you find the actual picture that they took his hero picture from, it's a lot bigger and he's sitting on this massive throne. Looks so cool. But right now, it's Tyrande, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, the Night Elf Priest, right?
Yeah. And I love Priest. And she's so shiny and new looking. And when you pop her down, she makes like a star like pattern. So cool. Yeah.
That is cool.
What about you, Josh?
So my original love in Warcraft is Rogue. Mm-hmm. And I think Valyra Sanguinar looks so cool. Like, just her pose with the daggers when she's stared. Like, you look at her across the board and you're like, yeah, that lady's going to slit my throat. I'm doomed. Mm-hmm. Feels good. Yeah. So I like that one. What about your favorite character voice emotes, though? So not the art, just the things they say and how they sound.
So I've yet to open Jiraxxus, but my friend has it. And whenever I play him, he makes a point of saying sorry back when it was we still had it. And so it just goes, Jiraxxus is sorry. And it just sounds so funny. But right now I'm really liking Malfurion's. He just goes, greetings. And it's so sincere. And you feel like he actually does want you to have like a good day, even though he's going to punch your face in.
He's a good
guy,
man. Malfurion's awesome. So, you know, it's funny. Do you know Warcraft lore at all?
I know nothing.
Malfurion and Tyrande are married.
Oh, so that's why they talk when you play them.
Yeah, and that and they're your two favorites. So apparently you like that druid power couple. I guess druid and priest power couple going on.
I ship it. It works.
Yeah. One of the coolest quest lines in the new expansion in Warcraft is dealing with them. Malfurion gets kind of kidnapped and corrupted, and you're working with Tyrande to try and rescue him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Dude. All right, hold on. Everyone, we're going to do big story spoilers right here. Okay. So if you don't want story spoilers for Warcraft, fast forward, like, give me 1 minute. We'll keep it to 1 minute.
Okay, cool. Right. Let's listen.
All right. So in that same quest line,
yeah.
Ysera. So the nightmare. So, all right, super fast. Druids are all about the dream, the Emerald Dream, mm-hmm. which is basically like a nature alternate reality that they live in. But the evil version of that is the nightmare, and it corrupts and comes in with like horns and tangles and satyrs and ruins everything. Yeah. Ysera, the big dragon, right, from the game?
Oh, yeah.
From Hearthstone?
Yeah.
She's a big, like, earth dragon, essentially. Or not earth, but whatever. Healing druid magic. Mm-hmm. She gets corrupted by the nightmare. And there's this awesome cinematic where she turns into, like, a red and black dragon with these crazy horns and everything.
Oh.
And during the story, so again, big spoilers, during the story, she dies. And you have to kill her. You put her down because she's been too corrupted. She can't be redeemed. She actually kidnaps Malfurion in her claws and flies away. But you kill her. And then Elune, who Tyrande worships, it's like the moon goddess.
Yeah.
She takes Ysera's spirit out of the body and turns it into a constellation in the stars. And it's this beautiful, amazing cinematic. But it's just like... I just finished playing a game in Hearthstone where Ysera won me the game. And then I go play the storyline and I'm like on the verge of tears. Like, no, Ysera, you were my favorite.
Oh. Yeah, she's my favorite dragon. I love it.
Yeah. So she's corrupted. And I mean, it looks like she's dead for real. Because I mean, you don't get turned into a constellation and still live.
Yeah.
Never happened to me, but I haven't met anybody who's been turned into a constellation and still been alive. So it seems unlikely.
I'm so scared of playing WoW that once I start, like, I didn't even do it for the Paladin skin because I'm like, once I start, I won't be able to stop. Yeah.
Join us. It's so good. All right. So my favorite character voice and emotes also in WoW a lot. Murlocs, that Murloc shaman. I just love how it's like, and then they like put, a lot of times they put like captions for what he meant to say or whatever. I think it's really funny.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite character spell effects. So this is, so let's do like the class spells or I guess like what fits the class best.
Yeah.
So for me, I'll go with Warlock. Yeah. Because there's so many cool dark magic spell effects, but Twisting Nether, that has to be the ultimate one for me. Like, for just like epitomizing what the class is and summarizing, like, when you see it, you're like, yep, only a warlock would do that.
Yeah.
What about you?
Personally, I really like Rogue, and I like how their theme, like, kind of all, it's like getting ready and being sneaky. Like, Fan of Knives looks awesome when you play it. But my personal favorite is Blade Flurry, where you just like snap your sword and then it just spins out in front of you and just deals damage to all the minions. It looks so cool.
Yeah, it does. Too bad that card is garbage now.
I know. Like, give us a good weapon or just make it a little bit better.
Someday. All right, last topic before we jump into community. You want to talk about, for In Your Back Pocket, what you do after the match?
Yeah. So this is after the match. It's important to remember that, like, after you win and after you lose, that you just gotta take a break, take a breath. I sometimes just recuse straight away, and I'll just make the same mistakes that I made last time. I forget to change out cards that I wanted to change. Yeah. So you gotta think, like, were there any cards in your hand that were dead? Are there any cards in your deck that you wish you had? Are there single copies in your deck that you want to change to double or vice versa? Do you have too many doubles you want to make a single? Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that's... I was running... Wormrat, I can't remember the name now. The 3-6 dragon that'll kill a 3-attack minion.
Twilight Guardian.
Twilight Guardian? Okay. I thought they were like a librarian or something.
Bookworm.
Bookworm. Thank you. That's what it is.
That's the one.
That was the one where like I had so many games where it was just sitting in my hand with nothing to target that I eventually just took it out of my deck. Even though I think it's still a good card, but there's just been so many times where it just sits in my hand and I don't really want to play it because it's a really bad card if it doesn't proc, but they aren't playing anything that it can kill.
Yeah. So it's like making decisions like that. And that's stuff that you can pop down on your notepad. You think, I had Conceal for the whole game and I didn't have a time to play it. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I just write on my notepad, bookworms are the worst. I hate books now. All right, so you mentioned deck trackers here.
Yeah, so I don't have a deck tracker working, but I really do want to get one working. That's just probably a problem with my end on the computer and stuff. But I've read about a lot of people who do use them, and they just collect all the stats, like what cards you play. They're all the stuff that I do want to read.
Yeah. I will say, though, I think it's good, especially if you're just learning the game. I think it's really good to play without a deck tracker because you have to learn that skill of kind of memorizing decks and tracking card draws because you can't get a deck tracker for your opponent because you don't know what's in their deck. And I think it's really useful to have that just kind of awareness to be like, okay, I need to keep track of what cards are being played, what can be played, what could happen. So I think it's good to play without a deck tracker for a while. But yeah, if you're trying to get hard stats, it is very helpful.
Yeah, I think it is important to like learn how to memorize their decks and like think, like, just to know those in the show notes, like the turns, like try and learn some of them off by heart just to be careful and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go rapid fire through these last few points. What do you got for me?
Okay, so quickly, my old music teacher, he told me practice does not make perfect, it makes permanent. If you practice wrong, you will not get better. So watch people who are way better than you. Watch streamers, watch competitions, watch tournaments, and like think, like pause before they make their turn after they draw their card and decide what you would do in their position. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
my dad always said,
yeah,
perfect practice makes perfect. That's how he always said that when we were growing up.
That's that's really good. So also don't get like salty and angry from a loss. You got to learn from it. You're only a loser if you don't learn. One of my sport teachers, I think, said that to me. And so take your notes. How did they beat you? What were the holes in your deck? What could have you done better earlier? So like top decks happen. You'll lose to them. You'll win with them. I'm sure you've done that. So it's just important to know that it's part of the game and they're probably not going to remove drawing cards. It's a card game.
Hopefully not. That would make the game quite awful.
It would, yeah. The other thing is, please, please, I cannot ask this enough. Do not BM. Don't be rude. Don't emote and rope. If you have lethal on the board, you wouldn't like it if someone does it to you. Even if someone does it to you, don't do it to them. Otherwise, they'll just get angry and do it later on. Just, like, don't perpetuate that problem. Yeah.
I have a confession.
Oh, no.
Sometimes when people BM me and then I win, I'll BM them back. It feels so... I always felt okay with that, but now you're making me feel like maybe that wasn't the right thing to do.
I do throw in the occasional greetings before lethal if they're beating me.
Yeah,
They're BMing.
Usually I'll mimic whatever they do. Like if they did like an oops or whatever because they thought I made a mistake, but then it was actually a good play. They just didn't like get it or whatever. I'll say oops and then crush them and it feels good.
You don't rope, do you?
No.
Okay, good.
I have roped on probably two occasions in my life.
But they deserved it.
I would like to think that, but you know that I can't. I'm clearly not a biased judge in this case, so fair I felt enough. Like they deserved it.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think it's in the spirit of the game. Yeah.
I think you're right. You're representing Happy Hearthstone better than I am right now, Ben. Way to go.
Thank you. I'm happy. And
all right. And then
the very last thing is accept every friend request you get and send them to everyone you have fun playing with. Like, build a community. Sure, you're going to get people who flame you, but it's their problem if they get so worked up about a card game on a computer that they have to go out of their way to add you and then make outlandish statements about your mother or your heritage. I've made so much friends playing with, like, massive skill, like, variability. Like, I met a guy on the ladder who was crazy good. He absolutely destroyed me. And so I added him, chatted, and every now and then I just go and watch him, and he's, like, 100 and something in legend right now. Wow. And it's just so cool just to see people so much better than you and just to learn from them. And then you ask them if they make a play, like, why'd you do that? And then they'll say, it's like, well, I'm playing around the obvious brawl in two turns, stuff like that. That you can't even, like, that you don't even consider. Yeah. And I know I'm saying it again, but try and have fun. It's a game. And if you're not having fun, mix it up or play something else for a bit. Read a book, go on a bike ride, go for a walk, stuff like that.
Bake some cookies. Then you get to eat cookies, and that always makes you happy.
Yeah.
It's cool. So go to the show notes, gamediplomat.com. We're going to have all the stuff that Ben wrote out that we talked about and some we didn't talk about, plus links to all the stuff like the Thailand face group, and also you recommend the subreddit Competitive HS for Hearthstone, obviously.
Competitive HS is amazing. It's a subreddit that isn't flooded by memes. It's a great place to talk about getting better, talk with great players, and the mods run an amazing page. And they jump on everything, and the deck summaries are so good there as well. And they have, like, proper win rates and, like, people who play them, and yeah, it's really good.
Awesome. So we'll have links to all that good stuff in the show notes. You can check it out. All right, jumping in the community section. First one's easy. There's no question this week. If you have questions, and it doesn't have to be a question, maybe that's a bad name for it, like a talking point or just something, literally send us anything and we'll talk about it. You can send us, like, facts about kites made out of leather. I don't know,
that would
whatever
be
you're into.
Yeah.
what's your favorite hobby that's not video games, Ben?
Favorite hobby that isn't video games. I really like reading.
Okay.
I'm actually reading John Grisham right now. Mining in middle of America. Never been there.
That's very cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What about you? Hobbies?
Oh, man. Does making games count?
Oh, like definitely. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Like, I don't know if that's like a cop-out answer.
No.
I like that. I used to like reading a lot. I don't have as much of an attention span for it now, which I think is probably bad.
Yeah, I think YouTube ruined my attention span.
Yeah, man. It did. And video games. Because, like, I could go play 20 matches of Hearthstone or read a chapter in a book.
Yeah, that I can't play Fallout anymore. Like, I love it so much, but I'm like, I can sit down and play 5 hours of Fallout, or I can play 50 games of Hearthstone.
It's tough. So,
yeah.
It gets, you know, it's really bad when you start measuring, like, money.
Yes.
In game stuff, because I used to do that when I was playing WoW a whole lot when it came out. And I remember, like, looking at a burrito and being like, I could buy this burrito or buy 3 weeks of a WoW subscription. I'd much rather have the 3 weeks of WoW subscription and then not buy the burrito. That was just a poor choice, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But I could see you doing that in card packs. You're like, man, if I get fries and a soda with this, that's 4 card packs. I'd rather just have the burger and then buy 4 card packs.
Yeah, I actually think that's a really good way to do it. Like, to kind of gamify your life, where you realize that all your choices do have costs. But the hard thing is to make the choice early, like, oh, I will buy the chips just because I'm not going to get the card packs. And then later on, you do buy the card packs.
Yeah, you need some accountability there.
Yeah.
Toss that on your notepad as you're out there. Just take the notepad with you everywhere. Be like, all right, I have earned 2 packs or no packs. No packs for you. And then a little ketchup stain next to it.
Yeah. Oh, just the loot boxes in, in Overwatch is so dangerous. Yeah, they give you nothing, but then they're so cool.
But you want so many of them.
I need that Reinhardt skin from the Halloween.
Yeah, the Halloween ones are cool. I like there was one that was like a witch, the Mercy one.
Witch Mercy. Oh.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
It looks so cool. I got the Roadhog 2 nights ago.
I hate that, Ben, because I hate Roadhog and everything he stands for. That man is the worst, and he's ugly.
I'm hooked on him.
Ben, you're the worst. Get off my show.
No.
Just kidding. You can play.
Thank
you. All right. iTunes review.
Yeah.
We have two from JD and CA, which is funny because my middle name is Daniel. And for one brief week in fifth grade, I tried to go by JD. And I live in CA, in California, I assume. So this might be like, and if we got like a Fight Club scenario going on, maybe JD's like my nighttime personality.
Oh, yeah. You get on the bus. Cool. Don't pay for a ticket for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. And apparently I listen to my own podcast in my alternate personality.
Yeah.
And I post two separate reviews 3 days apart on our show, which I appreciate.
It could be different people.
There's two people that call themselves JD and CA.
Maybe.
One of these is on my birthday, actually. This is definitely sounding more and more like an alternate person.
When was your birthday?
October 3rd.
Ah, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. All right, so let's see. I'm going to read these, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me if it sounds like something I could have written.
Okay.
Like, does this sound like something I would say? Happy Hearthstone is fun and educational at the same time. Sounds pretty spot on so far.
Mm-hmm.
This Hearthstone podcast is great. The joyful energy makes it fun to listen to, and the individual episodes are helpful. I particularly loved the episode with set reviews. Scott Lance is a great co-host. I already said exactly today. I said Scott Lance was the best co-host.
Yeah, and I have to agree. He's phenomenal.
Okay.
I just love those deck reviews. It might have been you.
All right. Here's the second review JD left for us. Love this podcast. This is a podcast I start playing as soon as it's in my feed. The host is delightful, and I really like many of his guests. My favorite episodes are with the card evaluations with guest Scott Lance. It's taught me a new way to look at cards. Try those first if you are considering this podcast.
Yeah.
On many occasions, I have told first-time listeners to go to Scott's episode. I mean, this seems like, and since I reviewed it twice, I probably got three personalities rambling around in my head.
Probably, yeah.
This is terrifying.
Maybe it's your son.
His first iTunes review before his first words. That would be amazing. Hey, at least he's listening to my podcast. I'm on board with that. He must like me.
Yeah.
All right, donations. So last time on the show we talked about donations a bit because we haven't had any in like 9 months.
Yeah.
So two people jumped on to break our losing streak, which I really appreciate. One was anonymous. It came through Amazon. And it just said, because you won't be expecting it, got to keep the dream alive, smiley face. Said, by the way, Drew was a fantastic co-host, which I agree. Drew was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Amazon doesn't tell me who sent it. It says, like, do you want to send a thank you note? I'm like, yeah, click it. It's like, great. Enter their email address. I don't know that. Don't you know that? That's like the whole point of a gift card. So if you sent that, please send it to me so I can thank you and talk to you about the show or talk to you about Hearthstone or do whatever. So thank you very much for that. And then Florian Meyer signed up for $3 a month on Patreon, which is awesome. Not very many people have taken advantage of Patreon, but Florian Meyer is one of those. And so I didn't see a message from them, but I'll reach out and try and get a message from them for next time. Yeah. So thank you guys very much to Anonymous and Florian. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Maybe the Anonymous was Drew from last time.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Drew was a fantastic co-host. Bring that guy back on. You should give him the $25.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into Card of the Week.
Right.
So, yeah, you know what you got to do, buddy.
Oh, I know. I was actually listening to the podcast yesterday, and I heard the Card of the Week. I'm like, oh, I haven't got one, but I actually managed to get one. So, nice. Do you know the song Technologic by Daft Punk?
Maybe. Not by name.
Okay.
But I don't know names to most of the songs.
Okay. So it's a little bit different to a song. The first half of the song is just words. And so I'm going to sing it.
All right.
Okay. And here it goes. Buy it, use it, dust it, craft it, think it, save it, tech and edit, nerf it, buff it, scrap it, change it, theme it, play it, love and share it, face it, tank it, wait it, charge it, stealth it, taunt it, learn and win it, prep it, claw it, secret, bless it, shield, tap it, twitch and stream it. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week. Card of the week. There you go.
Yeah. I love it. I recognized it immediately.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, because that was perfect, man.
Thanks. Yeah.
That was awesome. All right. So we got a card of the week. Again, we're doing a different thing with card of the week right now. It's cards that I've made up. And right now, most of the cards I'm making up are based on legendary weapon artifacts that the classes have gotten in WoW. And so the Frost Mages got Ebon Chill, which is like the staff with frost lances and stuff like that. So I came up with, okay, what would a weapon be if it was like for a spellcaster, right? Because I didn't want a weapon that is like, Ice Mages punch you in the face now. So I tried to come up with a weapon that felt good for a caster. So I'll just read it out. You tell me what you think, Ben.
Yeah.
All right, so Ebon Chill, it's a 3-cost legendary weapon. It is 0 attack, 1 durability, so 0-1. And it has text on it that says, at the start of your turn, cast Ice Lance on each frozen enemy character.
All right, that's really interesting. Like, it immediately changes the whole idea of Freeze Mage.
Like, yeah.
So instead of being stalling with ice blocks and they gain 8 armor, it's like playing Blizzard to just decimate the enemy board and Frostbolt face a lot. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because even stuff like so Frostbolt, that's the one, 2-cost, 3 and freeze, right?
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, so this effect wouldn't proc at the end of your turn, it's at the start of your turn.
Mm.
So you would freeze something on the enemy side of the board, deal 3, and then they have a turn to figure out what to do with it. But if they don't solve the problem, it's getting hit with 4 more.
Yeah.
So I liked that it was kind of delayed. So it wasn't like, oh, cast Blizzard and instantly deal 4 damage to everything. But you cast Blizzard and you basically present them a problem. I really like the idea of like Hearthstone being a game that you create a puzzle and give it to your opponent, and they kind of try to solve the puzzle and give it back to you with a new puzzle.
Yeah.
And so I like this idea of like, I cast Blizzard, I have Ebon Chill equipped. Here's a puzzle. All your dudes are at 2 health and frozen. They're all going to get killed next turn, but you have a chance to solve it. What do you do?
Yeah. And I really like that it combos with Frost Nova. And so it's like another chance for the Doomsayer turn.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, that's really
cool. And it could hit face, too. So you could Frost Nova and be like, oh, you're at 4 health. Do something or die.
Yeah.
And this is fun.
I do like that it's legendary. And so you'll only have one in your deck. So you got to be really careful where you're going to use it. Otherwise, someone will just, like, Harrison Jones it, draw 1 card.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what to do with the durability on these. Like with spell ones, because sometimes I tried to use it as like a counter. So like an effect would happen and it would lose 1 durability. And then so the effect could only happen 4 times or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was tough because then you play this weapon and it's like, well, Harrison Jones is going to eat that and draw 5 cards or whatever it is.
Yeah. I probably would have given it maybe 1 damage. Just so you can swing it and get it out of your hand if you don't want it.
So I kind of liked that you couldn't get rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of like that as a drawback on some of these, because not all of them are like always good effects on some of them. Like the Warlock one has some downsides. So I like the idea that you're kind of stuck with it.
Yeah.
You can override it. And actually, so as I started building these cards, one of my designer friends challenged me. It was like, you can't make these cards. All these weapons are OP. And he's like, if you're going to make these cards, you need to create cards that counter a weapon meta. And oh, so yeah. like I did stuff like the knife salesman and stuff that basically gives a lot of ways to override weapons or remove weapons. Mm. So I think that's part of what keeps this sort of stuff in check, that you can't attack to get rid of it, but you would have tools and neutral cards and stuff to deal with weapons.
Yeah, cool.
All right, and so this one is fun. I almost talked about the druid one as well.
Yeah.
But it was basically, it's similar idea for balanced druid, but it's more about casting moonfires all over the place. And it was a little more on the, this is a fun idea that is not at all balanced because everyone's getting moonfired to the face all the time, which is what druids do in WoW, which is just funny. So this one I thought was a little more fun. So if you had to say, is this too OP?
I don't think it's too OP. All right. I think it would be played, and I think it would have a place in a deck. I don't think the deck exists right now, but if it came out, it would at least start forging away for a new archetype. And very cool. Especially with like more weapons and the option for other classes to get weapons, especially with Medivh now, where everyone can get a Tiche.
Yeah.
And hopefully Greenskin may actually be playable.
Oh, does he give your weapon +1/+1?
Yeah, so he's 5 mana, 4/4, give weapon +1/+1, and he's a pirate. Oh,
man, I totally forgot about him because I don't think I've seen him played in 2 years.
Yeah, so I put him in my paladin deck, which runs Tyrion and Medivh. And so just the chance is try and get one of them and to upgrade their weapon. It's good fun.
Oh, yeah. That's really interesting, actually, because, I mean, it's not a bad body. A 4-4 for 5 isn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's got a lot of potential. Yeah.
Very cool. All right, so that's the show. As always, check out the show notes, gamedipmad.com. We'll have links, videos, all the guides, all the stuff that we talked about, especially that Thailand group. We should all just go flood that Thailand group and tell them that they're awesome, because these infographics are incredible. Yeah. And at least as far as I could tell, they're not getting the recognition they deserve for this.
They are not.
We're also going to put links to the Choose Your Champion that we talked about up front. Make sure you do that by October 25th. Link to breakdown for the Heroic Tavern Brawl rewards, if that's your thing. Also, a link to Plants vs. Zombies Heroes, Scott's game. Please go check that out. Let him know how much you like it if you check it out.
Oh yeah, I'm downloading that as soon as we finish recording.
Yeah, do it. So let me know what you think. I'm having a blast with it. I don't really like mobile games, so I really only downloaded it because it's Scott. Mm. But I am just totally hooked on it. This is super fun.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll look into it. Looks awesome.
Cool. And as always, we'd love to know what you thought about the show and what you'd like to see added in future episodes. You can find us on Google+, Happy Hearthstone, on Twitter, I'm at @JAugustine. Or email thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, or just leave a comment on the blog. And if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us like Anonymous and Florian. They are awesome. You can find more info at gamedipmat.com/donate. All right, Ben, where can people find you?
The easiest place to find me is probably on Reddit. My name is Colour of Three, the Australian spelling. So it's COLOUROF and then the number 3. I also have Twitter. I don't check it much, but I'll try and be more consistent with that. And on Facebook, if you want to just find me, I'm pretty sure if you search Colour of Three, it'll come through to me as well.
Very cool. Cool. And as always, I guess I shouldn't say always, for the past few episodes, I mentioned that my Game Diplomat show has launched. It's another podcast. It's a show I'm doing about indie games, and that just came out this week. We just covered Defender's Quest, which is a really cool tower defense RPG. That's really fun.
Cool.
So if that sounds interesting at all, go check it out. I give away free copies of whatever game we talk about on every episode, and so far only like 3 people have been entering. So if you enter, you basically win. So if you want free games, just go listen to the podcast. It's only 15-20 minutes long. All right, Ben, thanks for joining us on the show. It was really fun having you back on for the second time.
Oh, thank you so much, and I'll almost certainly be back. So much fun. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. And thanks again for everyone listening, for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
See ya.